Good morning, everybody. How you doing? I just got to scan the room, see who's here. Oh, you're here. That's awesome. And you're here. And you're here. It's always good for a preacher to take note who's in the room so that we can bring an appropriate message. Amen? Because, you know, we're not locked into these notes. Sort of. It's great to see you all. Are you doing well? I do believe that we have, that God has a word for you today, and you shouldn't have any problem believing that, because we do serve a God that when your heart begins to ask questions about your life, and you know, God hears that, and sometimes what God wants to do is he allows you to come into his house, and then from the minute you hit the car park or grab a coffee, you know, God wants to answer that question in your heart. And sometimes he does it through the preaching of the word, and sometimes it'll just be a pastor on the way out, or sometimes it'll just be a friend who just says something to you, and you go, got it. Wow, thank you, God. And I want this message to be that for you today. And so I'm going to pray that you will really open your heart, your life, and say, God, speak to me. Speak to my heart. Speak into my life, because as Val told us, he doesn't dwell simply beyond the stars. He also lives in our hearts. And he can hear what's going on. And he wants to minister to you today. Isn't that great that we serve a God like that? That we are in a relationship with God, not just in a religion. And I'm really, really excited about that. With me today, brothers and sisters, is my newfound brother. And his name's Mete, but we call him Matt. He's from a Turkish background. And Matt was actually raised as a Muslim man, but he has come to find that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he has received Jesus as his Savior. And he loves the Lord thy God with all his heart and mind. And he's growing. He's only been a Christian for about 10 minutes. Well, actually, I said that in the last service, about 11 minutes now. And we love him. And so please, after the service, come and say hello to Matt and just encourage him. And maybe just share a little bit about your journey with him. And I'm sure he'd love to hear that. But he's a great man. Now, you guys, you know, I've been here often and I've never done this before, and I might not do it ever again, but I just really, really, really would love to encourage you. And I feel a bit uncomfortable doing this, so you've got to just bear with me, because I don't, you know, is that okay? Anyway, this is how it goes. I preached the series in our church last year, leading into this year. And the series was called Wow, Walking on Water. And I really felt it was from the Lord to encourage our people that every single one of us have got something in our heart that we would love to be doing. Some of you would love to go back and study. Some of you would love to get on with that small business or large business. Some of you are sort of ready to get married, and you're delaying that a little bit. And we don't do things sometimes because of fear. Well, this series was designed to combat that. And it's preached out of Peter, getting out there and walking on water, and what needed to happen after that. And so the first one starts off with, it's called Risky Business, about actually getting out of the boat. But then it actually goes from there to not just stepping out, but what do you do now? Now that you've stepped out, you've left your job, or whatever it is you're about to do, what do you do next? Well, it talks about how God honors plans, not your dream. Actually, can I be honest with you? This whole series is worth it just for that one message. How many people know that God knows what you're dreaming about? Oh yeah, great. And we get preached, you've got to have a dream, you've got to have a vision. But nowhere in the Bible, listen to this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God will honor your dreams. The only thing it says is that God will honor your plans. Can you believe that? The word is zamam. God says, if you will zamam, which means plan, God says nothing will be impossible for you. It doesn't say if you dream. Because I know a lot of people that are dreaming and nothing's happening. But the people that seem to plan get God involved. So honestly, just for that message there, it would be worth it. And then there's a whole lot of other ones there about weapons of mass distraction. That was a good one too. Actually, I'm going to keep this for myself. Where's Shannon? Angie, you're going to need this series, okay? Because if you're going to step out and walk on water, then you're going to need to do this. So come on, give her a huge round of applause. That's, bless you, girl. Okay. Are we ready? Why don't you bow your heads? Father God, thank you for the opportunity to simply be someone that you can use today, God, to build up your people. God, we know that you are for us, you're not against us. And so, God, I pray that you will use me today to encourage your people, to build your church. Father God, I pray every person in this place can honestly say that it was good to be in the house of God today, and that, Lord God, they've learned something and grown a little bit closer to you and become a little bit more like you, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Why don't you give your pastors a huge round of applause? They're doing a phenomenal job. I think they're doing great. They're doing great. Good people. We love them. Why don't you turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. How many of you know this verse? You want to just raise your hand? How many of you, like, I know for a lot of people, this is one of their favorite verses and they've memorized it. For some of you, maybe you've read it for the first time. I'm sure that most of you are very familiar with this passage. And that's the problem with this passage, is that we become familiar with it. And so what I want us to imagine for a moment is that worldwide, every single Christian on earth got a dream from God. And the dream was, hey guys, I've included one more extra verse in the Word of God. So I want you to just imagine that God just for some reason thought, I've really got to tell these guys something. And so God has just included one extra verse that you've never read before. So I want you to read this verse like as if God dropped it into the Bible late last night after he gathered with the prophets and the angels. And now we're going to read this for the first time. Can you read it with me for, like as if it's the first time you've read it? Can you do that for me? I am an interactive preacher. I need you to say yes. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Verse 20. Now to him, God. By the way, God decided to put this into the New King James Version. Okay, in this dream, all right? So, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What would we get out of that verse if we were reading it for the very first time, that we're not reading it with disappointment in the back of our hearts and minds, that we're not reading it with, yeah, as if. Imagine we were reading this for the very first time. This scripture is telling you that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Do you know, if you were reading that for the first time and you'd never read it before, applause would have broken out right across this place. People would have gone, wow, that's pretty amazing. Wow, I should really thank God for that. This is a great opportunity right about now to go, yeah, wow, thank you, God. But what this scripture is really taking for granted, what the Apostle Paul, we know the Apostle Paul wrote it, being influenced by the Holy Spirit. What he is taking for granted is that we are asking and thinking. He says, God is able to do a whole lot in your life. This is what he's saying. God is able to do a whole lot in your life, more than you can ever imagine. But he says, but it's above everything that you're asking for. It's almost like you're laying the foundation of prayer and then God will do the rest. But he doesn't just say that God will do this all by himself, just out of nowhere. God will just do above everything that you could, that you're sort of just maybe imagining once in a while. No, it's taken for granted that you're asking. And if I was to be honest, this is actually a prayer message. But sometimes when I say, guys, we need to pray, we sort of go, yeah, I know. And it sort of becomes a guilt thing. And it's like, oh, no, but I don't. You know, let's just, this is not a prayer message, okay? I'm going to just pretend like it's not. This is a God is able message. This is a God can be in your life message. This is a we're headed into a brand new year and God just wants to do some amazing stuff for you, but he does need you to ask and he does need you to think about what he could possibly do. Amen? You know, all kings do strange things. Repeat after me. All kings do strange things. There's a story about the king of Saudi Arabia and he wanted to have a golf conference. And so he puts on this golf conference. Some of you may have heard this story. It's a true story. He had a golf conference and he wanted to actually improve his swing. So the sheikh wanted to improve his swing. So he actually brought over one of the American golfers to come over and to show him how to sort of get his swing right. So he sends over his personal jet, picks him up, brings him over, and he starts learning how to get his swing right through this American golfer. The Sheikh is very, very appreciative that his swing's getting better. So he says to the golfer, "What can I do for you? How can I honor you?" And the golfer looks at the Sheikh and he notices that he's got this golf club that is gold plated. And it's got a couple of like little diamonds at the top of it. And so he says, just very humbly, he goes, no, nothing at all. You just having me here is enough. And he says, no, I want to honor you. What can I give you? And he says, well, if you must give me something, please give me a golf club. And so he gets back over to the United States. 1 month later, he gets given an envelope that actually says, you are now the proud owner of the Hollywood Golf Club. He asked for this. He ended up with this. Because see, kings do strange things. But I want to tell you something. That king has got nothing on our king. And we get impressed with that stuff. And we go, wow, that's amazing. But I want to tell you something. Our king is far greater than that king. That generosity was great. But our God is far more generous than that king could ever be. But we've got to tap into this thing. Because that golfer did ask for a golf club. And God said, oh, so you've asked for this, I'll give you that. Well, that king did anyway. Why do we need to pray? Why do we need to ask God? Doesn't God just know what's going on? Why do I need to pray for God's blessing on my kids? Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to ask? Doesn't God just know everything? Didn't Jesus say that? That God knows what you're going to say before you even say it? But yet in the next breath, Jesus tells us to pray. What is this tension? Friends, God is with us, isn't he? He is for us. God is with us. But friends, there is an enemy. The devil is with us as well. He is with us. And he doesn't want you to prosper. He doesn't want you to flourish. He doesn't want your kids to love God and serve God and honor him. And so God is with our kids. But if we don't ask God to push the enemy back, they will be oppressed and they will have their struggles and trials. But our job is not to simply cause them to grow, because we can't make anything grow. When you plant a tree or a shrub, you can't make that thing grow. All you can do is put it in healthy soil and hope and pray that God grows it. And he does. But it is our job to keep the snails away. Snails are great, by the way. The poor snail, they've got their job to do. But you understand what I'm saying? It's our job to keep whatever is going to hinder that thing from growing away. And that's what we have to understand. We have to understand that we have to pray for our kids. We have to pray for our church. Doesn't God want every church to grow? But how come some churches flourish and some churches struggle? And why? Why doesn't everything just grow? Because I tell you what, there is an enemy and he's called laziness. And an enemy comes and he tries to impose himself on the church. But if people are praying, God, make us a church that is never lazy. God, push laziness back. God, push the enemy back. You know, that church is now free to grow. We don't have to twist God's arm to make this church. God wants it to grow more than all of us do. God wants it to be healthy more than all of us do. So why are some healthy? Why? Is it because God's not powerful enough? No, he's very powerful. But God needs us to ask. Amen? Amen. It gets a bit deeper, guys. It gets a bit dangerous when it comes to this, because there was a guy called James who was the brother of Jesus. Peter, James, John. Do we know these three? How many of you believe that James had an incredible call of God on his life? Yeah. How many of you believe that Jesus loved him and that he saw so many miracles? He could have been such a blessing to the Christian community because he could have told stories about Jesus and how he grew up, and he could have been such a testimony. But as we know, Herod took him and killed him. Just like that. Jesus had sort of gone for a few minutes. James was dead, like physically gone. You would have imagined Christians going, gee, was that it? All that intimate time with Jesus up mountains and all that, bang, gone. And I think it shocked the Christians back then. And they went, wow, that was a really bad thing that just happened. That can't be good. He was supposed to preach and teach us what Jesus said, but he was gone. Well, the Bible says that Herod, seeing that this pleased the Jews, took Peter and imprisoned him, and he was going to kill him. But what does the Bible say happened? Well, unlike with James, because when you read about James, nobody prayed. But when they took Peter, the Bible says that the saints got together and they began to pray. And then what happened? Well, an angel got involved and slapped him on the face and took him out of the prison and took him all the way to the prayer meeting where people were praying. What's the difference between James and Peter? Did God love Peter more? No, was it? Are we going to sort of go, oh, it was just the will of God? Are we going to, yeah, you can do that. I would like to think that, you know what, God loved them both. God wanted them to flourish. But you know what, someone prayed and someone didn't. Someone asked and somebody didn't. And we go, wow, are you trying to tell me my prayers are that powerful? Yes. Yes, they're really powerful. Because God loves your kids and he loves their kids. But how come my kids are struggling but their kids seem to be flourishing? God must love them more. No, no, they asked. You don't. Hey, this puts a lot of responsibility onto us. But it's an awesome responsibility because God is able to do more. And he's abundantly above and exceedingly above, and God can do more than what we ask or think. So you need to give someone a high five and say, I need to start asking. Come on, give them a nice high five. I need to start asking. Friends, when the Bible talks to us about prayer, you know that word able? That word able, God is able. God is able. That word able is actually the word dunamis. Any Greeks in the room? I'm sure I'm not saying that right. Oh, there's no Greeks. Yeah, that's exactly how you say it, like that. Dunamis. And the word dunamis, dunamis, souvlakia, I don't know whatever it's exactly how it's pronounced, but the issue is this. We actually take the word dynamite from that word dunamis. That's how we get the English word dynamite, because it means extreme power. The Bible is telling us that God's got incredible power. He's got dynamite. God is ready to put dynamite into different areas of our life. Actually, that same word is used in James chapter 5, verse 16. Have a look at what it says. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Full stop. The prayer of a righteous person is dunamis. The prayer of a righteous person is dunamis, and it's effective. Your prayers are like dynamite, is what the Bible is telling you. Your prayers are dynamite. And when you think about that, I thought I'd bring in my own dynamite, something I prepared earlier. I brought in my own dynamite. Now, some of you are thinking, hang on, this guy's got Lebanese, Armenian heritage. We are all in trouble. Those days are gone, my friends. Last week, I promised God never again. We're not. This is God's power. It's dynamite. And we all know that God is powerful. We sing songs about it. We know that God can do such powerful things. And so, do you know what they usually use dynamite for? They don't use dynamite for easy situations. They use it for really hard, tough situations. Mining industry uses it when they place it between rocks. And when they place it in between the rocks, it blows that thing apart. And friends, I know that right now we've got some tough situations, really rocky situations, stuff that you've tried to move by yourself and it hasn't worked. Well, God is saying, you know what? My dynamite could fix that. My dynamite could actually fix whatever it is that you are struggling with right now. Some addiction, if you've got an addiction going on, God says, you know what? I've really got the power to fix that. Have you got some relationship, loneliness, hurt? Yeah, have you got some stuff going on, issues with the children, issue with your business, partnership, relationships? You name it, God's involved. And God says, the power is there, my friend. The power of God is there. That's why I said at the start of this service, God knows your need. And for some of you, this is a word from him right now. From God himself saying, I can fix this. My power is here. I can do it. So if this physically, really, for real, was dynamite, and I was to place this dynamite over here somewhere, and I go, awesome. So this is my tricky situation. This is what I really need to, I really need God to help me. So I'm going to place my dynamite, and I know that God is powerful. I know that God is powerful, so I'm now going to wait. How long do you think I'll be waiting for? But isn't God powerful? God's powerful, so I'm just going to wait. Actually, I'm going to sing a song about how powerful God is. God is with us. You are so powerful. You are powerful, God. But nothing changes. I'll write a book about how God. I'll even blog on a website about how powerful God. I'm going to believe that God is, I can believe as much as I like that God is powerful. Most of us in this room believe that God is powerful. What do I actually physically need to do? Friend, there is a thing over here called a fuse. How many of you think that this thing plays a very big part in seeing this thing go off? Yeah, would you all agree with that? I'm so glad you agree. Very intelligent church. If you just think this thing's going to go off all by itself, you're kidding yourself. It needs a fuse. So, do we have a fuse? Okay, well, that's called prayer. That's your asking. Your asking connects you to the power of God. When James got killed, nobody did this. When Peter got grabbed, they did this and something changed. We need to ask. We need to tell God, God, this is what's going on, and I want to connect into your power. I believe you can do it. But we've got to ask, because if you ask, the Bible says he'll do abundantly above and beyond anything that you can ask or think. But he needs you to ask. So, we've got our fuse. Do we all believe that we need a fuse? Okay, so here's the fuse. There it is. So I've got my fuse. It's going to be nice and straight and long, and I'm going to get it right. I'm going to read a couple of books on fuse reading. Fuse. Go to Koorong, go buy a book on the fuse. So there's the fuse. There's my dynamite. Okay, here it goes. There's my tricky situation. Well, actually, I would have liked one, but we're not going to expose you that badly right now. What we are going to do... How many of you know that I'd still be waiting for eternity? I'd be waiting for a long time, even though I've got God's power and I'm praying a lot. What do we actually need to happen? Friends, we need a little bit of fire. We need fire to... I won't do it because I set everything off here. But if this was on fire, you know, you don't even need a big fire. What does the fire represent? It represents your faith. Friends, there's a lot of people that pray, but they don't believe. There's people in mainline churches that are praying that same prayer given to them by some minister to repeat over and over and over again, but they don't even, if they're thinking about fishing while they're praying. God needs your faith. The Bible says, listen to this, in that same passage, James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says this, in some of your versions it says this, the fervent prayer. What does the word fervent conjure up in your mind? The hot prayer. The prayer that it is so hot while you're praying, it sets the fuse on fire. It's not talking about the God, if you can, you maybe, sort of, if you got the time, do you mind? It's the God, I believe. I know that you are with me. I know that you are for me. I know that you are strong. You died on the cross for me. If you gave me all things freely, surely you're going to give me everything else I need. If you gave me your son, you're going to give me everything else. It's that hot, fiery faith that sets the fuse on fire. And that's what God's waiting for, my friends. Yes, he is powerful. Yes, prayer connects us to the power. But God needs your faith. What does Mark chapter 11 say? Mark 11. Therefore, Mark 11, 24. Are you getting something out of this? Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask... When you pray, comma, shouldn't that be enough? The fact that I just prayed? No, Jesus would say. No, no, no. Whatever things you ask when you pray, comma, believe that you receive them and you will have them. It's the faith that he's looking for. Faith, you ask, it leads to God's power. Friends, this is so important because if you don't understand this, you will think God favors people more than others. You will think that some people are blessed and some people aren't, although they are both the children of God. You start to come up with doctrines as to, oh, maybe because they did that, that's why they're blessed. No, we are all blessed. We are all favored of God. We are all righteous. Some of you are still stuck at that verse where it says the prayer of a righteous person. That's why things don't work out for me, because I'm not righteous. If you receive Jesus into your life, you are righteous. You're not going to get any more righteous than that. It is the righteousness of Christ that makes us righteous. So if you've received Jesus, you've got the right to pray. But God is waiting for your faith. Now, friends, let me tell you what happens. So we've got the dynamite, amen. We've got the prayer, fuse. We've got our faith, and so we go like this. Father, please help me find a wife. Help me find a guy. Help me find, not for me, not a guy for me, but yeah. God, help me start that. God, please open up opportunities, and we light it, and we believe. We believe, no doubt about it. In your bedroom you prayed, in your car, at church, somewhere, and it starts to light. Now, how many of you know that it wouldn't be very wise for me to go, God, the fuse is lighting, it's getting closer. What do you think I should do with this dynamite about now? Maybe just put it down and run for my life. You know, sometimes when you pray, you've got to leave it to God. Because we're still tampering with things, and God says, I've got it in my hands. Don't force my hand. So I light it, and then I leave it, right? And so I've lit it. The fuse is burning. The dynamite's there. So now I stand over here, and I'm waiting for the situation to change. Have I done everything I can do? Absolutely. So I keep believing. 1 week goes by. 2 weeks. 3 months. I'll just go check the dynamite again. So I get back there, and you know what? I discover that it's burning. Okay, well, all right, okay. So then I go back over here, five months, 6 months, and then I say, and then this is what I say. I don't think God's going to come through for me. I don't think God can do it. Friends, there's a word for that. It's called unbelief. But what you don't know what's happened is over here, the minute you speak unbelief, it's like you've wet your fingers and you've gone, and you've just turned off the fuse. You can stand there for the next 17 years now, nothing's going to change. What's my purpose of today's message? I want you to reignite that fuse. I want you to believe God again. I want you to trust Him that He is able. He is involved in your life, but He's waiting for you. We're waiting for Him. He's waiting for us. And He wants us to be people that are bold and people that will believe Him and people that know that this is the truth. Some of you would know this scripture in Daniel 10, verses 12 to 13. It says, this is God speaking to Daniel. He says, so Daniel's been praying for 3 weeks. Nothing's happening. Some of you would know this verse. And it says, and God said to Daniel, don't be afraid, Daniel. Don't be afraid. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. Your request has been heard. He says, I've come in answer to your prayer. But so what? Then what happened? Why did it take 3 weeks? But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Friends, God has heard your prayer from the day you prayed it, and the fuse is burning, but the enemy's trying to stop it. And if he can just keep stopping it long enough and you don't believe God anymore, he has won the battle. I want to tell you something. God hasn't forgotten your prayers. God has got every one of your prayers written down, and the fuse is burning. My question is it burning or have you put it out? What are you believing for your unsaved cousin, your friend, your grandpa, your employer or employees? What are you believing for them? Oh, they're too hard. I tried. It's all over. Unbelief. But by the end of this service, we're going to have a time where you can come forward and say, God, I want to reignite that fuse. God, I'm going to believe my children are going to worship you and serve you. I'm going to believe my business is going to go forward. We are going to be able to buy a house. Oh, it's tough economic times at the moment. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. Apparently, God is really powerful. And apparently, He can do abundantly beyond anything that you ask or think. Can you see how we become so familiar with that passage? But this is what it's all about, friends. You know, I asked God one day because I was trying to start a church. And I was working for a company and we had a car allowance. So I bought this Mercedes, a 10-year-old Mercedes-Benz. All of you should have gone, at about that moment there. A 10-year-old Mercedes. Mercedes are great cars, but a 10-year-old one, you're starting to get some trouble. Anything you touched cost you $3,000. So I had a couple of issues, and I thought, I can't afford this car anymore, and the monthly repayments were huge. And so my wife said, honey, we've really got to get rid of this car. So I owed about $28,000 on it, and I was trying to get rid of it for about $26,000. And I began to pray, you know, God, yeah, please, if you could help me, maybe. Nothing, not a bite, nothing was going on, nothing. So my prayers intensified. God, please, if you don't mind the Mercedes, please get rid of it. Nothing. Do you know when you get to the point where you go, I really need God now? Because, you know, I was sort of praying, but really, Trading Post is really my God. Or car sales is, you're hearing what I'm saying? It's like, really, car sales was my God. But then when car sales let me down, not a phone call, then I actually turned to the God of heaven. And so I began to lay hands on it. I must have looked ridiculous to my neighbors. I said, like, before I'd get into it, I'd lay hands and say, God, this car has to go. It has to go, God. You know how much I owe on it, God. So I went from 28 to 24 to 26 to 18,000. Not a phone call. I was going to owe 10 grand on this car for a car I didn't even own. I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying. Okay, God, I'm still believing. One day I'm sitting at a staff meeting, you know, whatever, and I'm sitting at the end of the table with my work colleagues there, and Canterbury Road's out there, and he goes, Richard, is that your car outside? I said, no, I parked it further up the road. He goes, no, your car is like rolling down the hill, like ever so slightly. I said, no way. And so I looked, and I see the front of it, and then as I'm watching it, I see the back end of it, and the back end is totally smashed, totally gone, fully written off, $32,000 check from the insurance company, thank you very much. Now, some of you who work for insurance companies don't like me very much right now. But my God is able. That won't send you broke, but it was about to send me broke. And some of you are thinking, he's Lebanese. I know how that whole thing happened. Please, a little bit of integrity, all right? Hey, listen, I just wanted to sell it and make a bit of a loss. God said, no, that's okay. You're asking. I can do more and above than what you ask or think. Okay, now please don't get me wrong. Don't get all your theology mixed up. Did God make a car smash into? I don't know how it happened. All I know is I got out of it. I'm going to give God the credit. I don't owe any money on that thing. No one seems to be chasing me. It's all good. But I asked for this and God gave me that. But I had to ask for this at least. Makes me think if I had have asked for that, God would have given me that. But at least ask something because God can do more than what you ask or think. Then I went for a job. I went for a job interview. And I was going to become a spruiker. Does anyone know what a spruiker is? I just had to get through Bible college. And spruiking is, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some great sales here today. You come over here and we'll rip you off. and it was a horrible job. I was going to pay like, you know, 28,000 or something like that. It was just a horrible. I thought, you got to do what you got to do. I have three young kids. Got to do what you got to do. Amen? So I went for this job and I said, God, I really need this job. Please help me get this job. So I go for the interview. I get called in. The interviewer says, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I told him what I can do. Da, 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 da. She goes, do you mind if I just leave you for a moment? Sure. 20 minutes later, she comes up with the general manager. And he's sitting down. I'm going, what's going on here? Just for a spruiking job. This is a bit full on. So anyway, they're going. He goes, look, Richard, unfortunately, we can't give you the spruiking job. It's already been given to somebody else. And I must admit in my heart, I went, oh, God, you can't even get me a spruiking job. Wow, God is able. But you know, you've got to hold on to something. You know, God, please don't get me. I'm no saint here in the sense of I get this right all the time, but this is the truth. This is the truth. So he says to me, look, we want to offer you a different job. I said, what is it? He goes, it's actually a sales training job. It was triple what I was going for. Company car, laptop, and a phone. That job got me through the first 18 months of building a church until the church could afford to put me on. And my kids didn't have to suffer. Everybody, it was just an incredible job because I asked for this and God gave me that. I asked for this, God gave me that. And you're thinking, wow, does God get involved in this sort of stuff? Absolutely. Absolutely he does. He cares. He cares about us. He really, really does. And some of us have got to understand that this is exactly what challenges us sometimes. I asked God for a venue because we were meeting at the Coburg Town Hall. And when you preach a message and you would say something great, 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 it would just echo everywhere and people were confused and what's he talking about? And so I said, God, we've got to get out of here because they actually told us we couldn't use heaters in the peak of winter. Well, I got mothers with babies and we said, God, this is horrible. So I rang up a friend. I said, hey, listen, would you mind if the prayer comes, God, I just need another venue. That's all I asked. I said, God, we need another venue. There's no venues for a church our size that are community facilities. God, we just need something. I ring up a friend. Now, by the way, I rang up the friend. God didn't make the friend ring me. It's okay to actually ring people and talk to people. He says, you know what? Come and use our building at 4 o'clock and you'll be fine until you build yours. So now we're sitting in plush seats. We've never had that as a church. But someone asked for this and we've been given that. And I want to tell you something. I don't know what you're aiming at. I don't know what you're going through. But can we at least ask God? So that he can do exceedingly abundantly above everything that you ask or think. Give someone a high five. Come on, my friends. This is good news. One day I looked into the mirror and I said, God, you know, if you can do exceedingly abundantly above, you know, I looked at my hair. Woohoo. So, Father, you know, please, come on, God. You know, you can part the Red Sea. You can cause a few hairs to grow. God, please let my hair grow. Well, you know what? He did on my back, on my neck. Up my nostrils. my ears. So you've got to be a bit specific with God, all right? So sort of, you know, maybe I should have said, on my head, like literally right there, God, would be helpful. But hey, listen, we all pray. This is not a message about prayer, actually, because we all pray. But you know who we all pray to? Ourselves. Gee, I wish my kids would just behave better. Gee, I hope my daughter does well at uni. We pray. Oh, gee, it'd be great to have a nicer home. We pray, but we pray to ourselves. It's called self-talk. But the Bible says, cast your burdens onto Him. In other words, I've got a little saying that I tell our church all the time. Why don't you turn your cares into prayers? So whatever you think about, don't just think it to yourself. Say, hey, oh yeah, that's a good thought. Hey, God, and ask Him. And then He goes, awesome, now you've released me to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that you could ask or think. Friends, this really matters. You know, there's a story about a guy, he was a returning soldier, and he was walking down the road, hitchhiking. He just got back, got from the airport, was going to go back to visit his family, and he's hitchhiking, and a car comes along, picks him up, and off they go, and they're driving. And so the driver who picked him up says, hey, where you been? He goes, I've just come back from Iraq, and blah, 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 and they're talking. Anyway, the soldier begins to witness to this guy and starts to tell him about Jesus and prays for him. And this guy pulls the car over and prays the sinner's prayer with him and receives Jesus into his life. And they actually build up a bit of a connection there. So anyway, the driver gives the soldier a business card and says, hey, listen, if you're ever in our town again, love to host you. So anyway, the soldier keeps going and this guy drives on. A few years later, this soldier picks up this card and says, oh, I'm going to go visit the guy that I talked to about the Lord and so forth. So he goes there because it was a family business on the card. So he goes to the family business and he says to the reception, hey, I'm here to see such and such. And the receptionist looks at him a bit strangely. She goes, oh, okay. She goes, sorry, how do you know him? He goes, oh, he picked me up. I was hitchhiking and he picked me up. And all of a sudden she talks upstairs and the mother comes out. And she says, excuse me, sir, who are you? And he explains. She goes, could you come upstairs? So they go upstairs. And they're talking, and the mother says, can you tell me who you are? And he goes, well, you know, blah, 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 and, you know, and, you know, she goes, oh, yeah, right, right. He goes, he's your son, obviously. She goes, yeah, he's my son, and they're talking. She goes, and what else happened? He goes, well, I must be honest with you. I talked to him about Jesus, and he received Jesus into his life, and I hope you're okay with that. And she goes, wow, and she bursts into tears. And he says, are you okay? She says, that day that he picked you up, he drove on further and actually had a car accident and died. She goes, I thought he had died without receiving Jesus. She goes, now you're telling me that my prayers all those years actually were answered and I just didn't even know about it. Friends, sometimes we can think God has let us down somehow. But I want to tell you something, He's fighting for you. But He just desperately needs you to stay engaged. He needs you to not give up. He needs you to be a person that says, God, I know I'm going through this, and everything that I'm seeing, God, everything looks desperately hopeless. But God is saying, will you just reignite that fuse? Are you willing to do that? Don't let the dream go, my friends. Don't let that dream go. God wants you just simply to ignite. You know, we're going to spend some time here in a moment. And I'm going to ask you to get your spiritual faith match out. And I want you to relight those prayers. Because I think some of us have done the whole, God can't do it. It's almost too late. I want to tell you something. While there's breath, there's hope. Amen. And God is involved and He loves you, my friends. God is with you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and join me for a moment. And just while they're doing that, friends, the first prayer that God wants to answer, the first one, is to have your sins completely forgiven. That's the first prayer. The first prayer is that God wants to be in a relationship with you. And maybe you've been brought up in the Christian faith, but you've never really asked Jesus to come into your life. I know that feeling. I was raised in a mainline church, but I'd never asked Jesus to come into my life. and receive His forgiveness. So can I just have every eye closed right across this place? Friend, I want you to know something. God knows who you are. And maybe you're just a young man, young woman. Maybe you've been growing up in church all your life. But really, you've never given Jesus that place in your heart. You've never asked Him to come in and forgive you of your sin. Maybe this is your first time to church, second time to church. I want to encourage you, my friends. Jesus wants a relationship with you. And the way in which we do that is we simply ask Him to come into our life. Just got to ask. Don't have to be good enough. You never will be good enough, but He is good enough. He is a better Savior than you are a sinner. He can save you. So while every eye is closed, friend, if that's you, do you want to just raise your hand and say, Pastor Richard, I want you to pray for me today. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand and say, I need Jesus today. If that's you, my friend, you just raise your hand nice and God bless you, young lady. I can see that hand. Thank you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Just raise your hand nice and high. God bless you, young man. I can see your hand there as well. Anyone else? Just raise your hand nice and high. God bless you. God bless you. There are hands going up everywhere. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Young lady over there. God bless you. Mum, I can see you over there. God bless you. That's awesome. Wow. People are receiving Jesus in this place today. Come on. That is fantastic. Thank you, Lord God. Wow. Hey, can we just keep every eye closed? Can we just do that one more time? If you raised your hand, can I just see your hand one more time all together right now? Right now, just hands nice and high. That is awesome. That is awesome. Wow, come on, let's give them a huge, huge round of applause. Wow. Well, those of you who raised your hand, we're going to pray a prayer with you right now. Church, I would love you to, with a loud voice, pray this prayer all together. Can we do that this morning, this afternoon? Can we pray that? So those of you who raised your hands, it's a very simple prayer, but you're praying it to Jesus. So here we go. Come on, with a loud voice. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. Please forgive me of every sin that I've ever done. I want you in my life. Help me begin today a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give him a huge round of applause. Wow. Wow. What an incredible thought to think that some people walked into this church today not knowing where they were going to go the day they die. But today we know for sure that they would see Jesus face to face. They know where they're going. Their sins are forgiven. They've got a relationship with Jesus. And He is now their God. Come on, give them one more round of applause. That is awesome. Wow. Church, would you stand with me? We're just going to take a few moments. We haven't got a whole lot of time. What an opportunity that we have to stand before God and say, God, I've already prayed the prayer. I've already prayed the prayer. But my faith has dwindled. But Jesus said that when I pray, I ought to believe and then I will receive what I've asked for. So God, right now, that's what I'm going to begin to do. And for some of you, you know what? I'm going to open up this front here and we're going to come forward and all you're doing is lighting the fuse. And for some of you, you need to really run out here because you know what? You've prayed some amazing prayers and you're not really seeing the change that you're looking for right now. And so I want to invite you to come down. We're going to begin to sing God is Able. And as we're singing, I want you to just come and spend some time with God and say, God, here's my faith. Here's my flame. Here's my flame. God, I believe that you can ignite the fuse which will set off the dynamite. And we're going to see our children love and serve God. We're going to see our businesses flourish. We're going to see our grandparents receive the Lord before they die. We're going to see these things. But you know what? We've got to be aggressive. No room for shame or embarrassment. We're here before God. So come on, as we sing, I want you to come. I want you to come and just say, God, I'm going to reignite that fuse right now. Come on, you come as we begin to sing.
With us.
God is with us. Friends, we're not going to delay this much longer, but I do want to say this. I don't want every single person at the front here, because some of you don't need to be, and that's fine. But some of you do. And let me tell you what's hanging in the balance. This young man here, and I'm trying to protect him spiritually this morning, this afternoon. But Mete didn't know Jesus. He actually comes from a background that is quite tough to become a Christian, actually. But he had a Christian girl in his life. And they began, you know, dating, and she could sort of see, look, this is not going to work, him being of that faith and me being of this faith. So she broke it off and stood back, but she began to pray. And in that 8-week period, she had nothing to do with him, but God began to work on him. And within 8 weeks, he was repenting and saying, Jesus, I need you in my life. Are you hearing me? Friends, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to say, God doesn't have favorites. He doesn't love that girl more than he loves you. And for some of us, we need to say, you know what, God, I'm going to go that next level of faith. I'm going to really believe that you're going to do something in this situation. That's you. As we begin to sing, come on, you keep coming. You keep coming and say, God, I am. I'm going to do this. I'm going to step forward. Come on, let's begin to sing. God is for us.
God is with us.